The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everybody. The Apostle John was very close to Jesus Christ. He was the apostle Christ loved in a very special way. He wrote 5 books in the Bible and had a lot to say about the Ten Commandments. Let's just notice a few places where he mentions the law of God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. Get your Bible and follow along, and let's go through a study of God's law and God's commandments here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. God inspired the Apostle John to write this: "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." You can't know God unless you obey his law, is what John is saying here. Verse 4, "He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Those are very strong words coming from God's word, the Holy Bible. It's pretty clear that God expects us to keep his commandments, and he'll help us do so. Now, continuing in what John said about the law, let's turn over here to 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. 1 John 5, 2 says this: "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." Verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." They are not bondage. They are not legalistic. They are the true way to live life. They are love. And they are about loving God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourself. And John is making that plain here, and in other places you will find he makes it plain in the books he wrote, the book of John, the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Now today we're going to continue in the series that we've been going through on the Ten Commandments, and specifically today we will concentrate on the 7th commandment found in the law of God. Let's read what that 7th commandment says over in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. Exodus 20 and verse 14 says it very clearly and very cogently. "You shall not commit adultery." You shall not commit adultery. That's what God says right here in simple, clear, concise terms. And it's a command. Period. No exceptions and no excuses. God gave 2 commandments out of the 10 specifically directed at guiding and developing a happy home and a happy family. Commandment number 5 says, "Honor your father and mother." And that certainly does have to do with a happy home and a happy family. And then commandment number 7 says, "Don't commit adultery." That too has to do with a happy home and a happy family, and specifically a happy marriage. The 7th commandment makes it plain that any kind of unchaste conduct before marriage or after marriage is sin, and that it will always bring heartache, anguish, and leave lifelong scars with anyone involved in that wrong conduct. Turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Notice what God said from the beginning about man and woman, husband, wife, and marriage. He's the one who designed and authored marriage. He knows how marriage works. He knows what goes into making a happy marriage. And right from the beginning, here's what he said, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave, or be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." One flesh. "They shall be joined together. They shall be unified. They shall become one for life in the marriage state." This is for life. This is for keeps. Marriage is one of the most important decisions anyone can ever make. So be careful before entering into the marriage vows, and make sure you are committed to keep them for the rest of your life. That's what God says, and that's what God intends. And that's the way marriage was designed right from the beginning. Notice what Jesus Christ said when he was on this earth. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 6. Mark 10, and beginning in verse 6. Christ said this, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause, for this reason, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain, or they two, shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two or twain, but one flesh." Verse 9, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." So you see, the marriage entered into by male and female, husband and wife, man and woman, is permanent. Now, of course, in some marriages, abuse starts to occur. Endangerment of life and gross immorality starts to take place from either or both marriage partners. And when that starts to happen, the marriage can be destroyed. It can be completely torn asunder. And what could have otherwise been a holy, happy, and permanent relationship sinks into the mire of sin, pain, and destruction. And that kind of conduct, abuse, endangerment of life, and gross immorality will bring very painful penalties on the ones who commit such terrible things. Because that kind of action breaks God's law and it disobeys the seventh commandment. And nobody gets away with it. The penalties and the pain is automatic. It's only a matter of when it descends on those who live that way. You know, Jesus Christ elevated this seventh commandment to the spiritual plane when he was on this earth. Let's read about that over here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. Matthew 5 and verse 27, Jesus Christ said this, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart, or on a man. A woman can lust as well." So what Jesus Christ did right here is he made the seventh commandment not only binding in the letter, but binding in the spirit. He lifted it to the spiritual plane and spiritual blessings come along with that. So now it's not just a matter of keeping the seventh commandment in the letter, which we must do. We also must keep the seventh commandment in the way we think. And he'll help us do that. Now the seventh commandment covers thought and intent. Lusting after someone breaks the principle of the law and of the seventh commandment, and it is sin. That's what Christ said here, Matthew 5, 27. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you," verse 28, "that whosoever looks on a woman," or man is the meaning, "to lust after her," or him, "has committed adultery with her," or him, "already in his," or her, "heart." Now this lusting includes such vile things like fantasizing or pornography or coveting someone else's mate. And pornography, in all of its wretched and rotten forms, is one of the most horrendous practices we find in our society today. And quite often it turns into an addiction. And it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. And it's just lightly looked upon. More and more people participate in viewing that filthy, rotten garbage. And you know what happens? More and more marriages are ruined by that practice. And lives are ruined by that practice of reading, viewing, and lusting after pornography. It corrodes the mind. It breaks the love and the fidelity of the marriage state. And it is sin because it breaks God's law. It's a filthy sin. It can be repented of and overcome, and it must. Otherwise, the results will be disastrous. Any kind of sexual relationship outside of the marriage union of husband and wife, man and woman, is wrong. It is sin, and it breaks the spirit and letter of commandment number 7. Let's notice what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. "Flee fornication." That's sexual activity prior to marriage. "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body," or outside the body, "but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Fornication and adultery are both covered by the seventh commandment. And sexual activity and immorality and involvement prior to marriage by anyone is wrong. And it's going to bring untold problems. I know virginity is laughed at today. It's looked upon as old-fashioned and archaic and just plain silly by so many in our modern, quote-unquote, enlightened Western civilization. But not everybody laughs at that wonderful condition of virginity, and certainly God doesn't. And we still have some young people who are determined to keep themselves chaste for whoever they marry. And then when they marry, to keep themselves faithful within that marriage state. And good for those people, and get ready, if you're one of those people, for the blessings that God will pour out on you, regardless of the sneering and the ridicule you might receive from your peers. It's your life. Don't let them live it for you. You stay with your determination to stay away from sexual looseness and immorality, and to keep yourself clean, and to follow what God clearly says in His Word. And what does He say? Flee fornication. And what does He say? Don't commit adultery. Just think what would happen in our society today if everyone everywhere kept this commandment all the time. There'd be no sexually transmitted diseases anywhere. No chlamydia, no gonorrhea, no AIDS, no herpes, with all of the pain and all of the trouble and health problems that come along with all of those diseases. Just none of that. You're clean and free of all of it, simply by obeying the seventh commandment. No children born outside of marriage, only within marriage. Shattered homes and lives and marriages nowhere to be found. Happy homes, thriving marriages, successful living. No more situation where children have to deal with all of the hurt and pain and disappointment and confusion that comes along with sexual immorality before marriage or during marriage. That would be gone for good. But today in this world and in our societies and in our civilizations, God's law and the seventh commandment is not being kept by the vast majority of people. A shrinking number of people understand how important it is to obey this command and keep it. More and more don't even realize what the seventh commandment says, much less follow it. Rather, they are involved in what we read about over here in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's turn there. Jeremiah 5 and verse 7. God says this about our nation today. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children, your citizens, have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, I'd provided everything they could possibly need and want. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery. Go out and break the law and commit adultery over and over again, and assemble themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Prostitution. More and more, prostitution is viewed as just a normal part of life. It's just part of society. It's been around from the beginning, and so, yes, it's around today. So what? They've got to make a living, too. And when youth get involved in immorality with prostitutes or with others, oh, it's just a rite of passage. And you have spring breaks, college students going to beaches here and there and everywhere, and oh, well, drinking and fornication and adultery and all of that kind of conduct, well, they just have to go through that before they settle down, sow their wild oats. Well, nothing seems to be said about what those wild oats produce. The crop that they produce is terrible. Terrible on everybody involved in that kind of conduct and on children that can come along later and on health problems. That's not the way to go. The way to go is the way God says to live. But that's not what you see around you. But you don't have to do what you see around you in this matter. Here's what God has to say about this world around us today. Verse 8, Jeremiah 5. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. If you can get away with it, what's the problem? But you know you never get away with it. It always catches up. And when it does, the pain is so bad that kind of conduct was not worth it. But it's too late. Can't unwind the clock. Can't unring the bell. Can't go back over the line. It's done. Now you've got to live with it. Now you can repent and get all that forgiven and clean up your life and go the right way. And good for you if you do that. But the best thing is just don't cross that line in the first place. Every time anybody does, it will not go unheeded and unpunished by the great Creator. Nobody gets away with any of it. Payback is inevitable and it will be crushing. You know, there's a better way to live life and a better way to conduct ourselves, morally speaking. And that way is God's way. Let's just take a quick look at the contrast between God's way and Satan's way of living life in our families, in our marriages, and in our homes. Let's just go right over here to Proverbs chapter 5 to start with. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15. We don't have to go along with the crowd just because everybody else is going that way. Any old dead fish can just float down the stream. It takes a real live fish to swim upstream and do the right thing against the current that's pulling it downstream. What choice will you make in this matter? Will you just go along with the crowd and take the line of least resistance, or will you plant your feet, stand tall, and say, I'm not going to go that way, I'm going to go this way? If you make that choice and you follow up on it, God will help you, and you will be so glad that you decided to go the right way. Here's what you will be doing with your wife and with your husband in your marriage. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15. Drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters out of your own well. Be faithful to your own mate. Let your fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Wonderful children will come along out of a marriage like that. Let them be only your own and not strangers with you. Verse 18, Proverbs 5. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth or with your husband. Rejoice. Enjoy your marriage. Respect one another. Care for one another. Love one another. Have fun with one another. And be loyal to one another. That's the way to go. What a contrast to what we just read in Jeremiah about the way the world is going. Everyone neighing after one another's wife and assembling like troops in places of prostitution. That kind of vile conduct brings very ugly results. But notice what kind of results keeping God's law and the seventh commandment brings. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 127. Psalms 127 and verse 1. I realize that the vast majority of people don't even know where Psalms is in the Bible. And if they do, they probably don't even take time to read Psalms 127. But you can. You can get your Bible, you can open it up to the book of Psalms, and you can turn over here to Psalms 127. And you can live your life like this. And if you're not living your life like this, you can change and start living your life like this. And it's all built around the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, and the seventh commandment, don't commit adultery. This is the kind of home life keeping those commandments will bring into your life. This is the best way to go. This is God's way. There's pleasure, there's joy, there's happiness, there's excitement, there's achievement and success and productivity. No kickback, no penalty, and no pain produced by this kind of living. But it's a choice. Look at this. Look at what God says here in Psalms 127 and verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. He's talking about home, family, society, village, city, town, nation, state. It applies to marriage. It applies to family. and it applies to mankind, what we're reading here. Verse 2, Psalms 127. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. You try to do it your way, go your own way, and work it out yourself, and stay up late doing so, it's not going to happen. We have to put God in the picture and ask, well, what does God say about marriage, about child rearing, about home life, about citizenship, about how we work, about how we live? Do that. And there's where the blessings just open up and start raining down on you. Verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the eternal, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. They're not a penalty. They don't crimp our lifestyle. They don't get in the way. They're not a nuisance, not if we rear our children properly. And if we are fully engaged parents, considering parenting a privilege, children then are a blessing. They are a reward. They're just wonderful. Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Verse 5, Psalms 127. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now I ask you, take a little time to read that chapter and picture what society would be like if everyone followed the instructions contained right here in this part of God's Word. Well, all of society would be happy. Families would be happy, fully living life the way it should be lived, and enjoying the fruits of that kind of conduct. There would be love in the families, children getting along with children, parents getting along with each other, and with their children, husband and wife, totally loyal and faithful to one another, fulfilling their marriage vows that for the rest of their life they would serve one another in sickness and in health, in good times and bad, and always be loyal and faithful. What a contrast. And those of you who are living life that way know what kind of contrast it is to what so many in the world are doing in this regard of marriage, children, home and family. Let's continue reading now in Psalms 128 in verse 1. Blessed is everyone that fears the Eternal and walks in his ways. You'll be blessed if you do it. And his ways are outlined in the Ten Commandments. And two of those commandments outline family life. And number 7 is the one we're covering today, which says don't commit adultery. Don't commit fornication. Don't commit sexual immorality. That's all built into the meaning of the 7th commandment. Be chaste, be clean, be pure, be loyal, be faithful toward your fiancé and then toward your mate in marriage. And don't engage in any kind of sexual activity outside of the marriage state. That's what God says. That's what God blesses. That's what God intended when he was the one who created marriage in the first place. Verse 2, here's what happens when we do that. For you shall eat the labor of your hands, the fruit of the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. You know, any of us like things to go well rather than bad. Any of us like to be happy rather than sad. Any and all of us want to have an exciting, fulfilling life. And well, we should, and well, we can. But not by turning our back on God and on his laws and walking away and doing it our way. Only if we get in line with his Ten Commandments and live that way with his help will this happiness and joy that we're reading about here come our way. But we can do that. We just have to decide to and ask God to help us. And we can keep the 7th commandment. We'll slip up and have to repent and change regarding thoughts and all that kind of thing, but God will help us. And as we keep it more and more fully, never being disloyal to our mate, never being immoral outside of marriage before or after, but always following down the path of cleanness and purity, the happiness that that produces is actually beyond description. Verse 3, Psalms 128, your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, your children like olive plants round about your table. Everybody having a part in plans and dreams and sharing hopes together. A dynamic, active family engaged in all fronts that are profitable endeavors and worthwhile undertakings. but all loving and caring for one another and respecting and appreciating one another and not getting involved in lewd and lascivious conduct at all ever under any circumstance. God blesses that. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Eternal. The Lord shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. In other words, spiritually speaking, the good of living God's way, as Jerusalem in the days of David was to be doing. Verse 6, yea, you shall see your children's children and peace upon Israel, or in today's society, peace on your life, on your home, and in your family. If we will keep the seventh commandment, there will be continuing and endless blessings poured out on our families from God, who gave us this law and who instituted marriage in the first place. And nothing can block out those blessings. Nothing can stop them. I want us to once again read about the seventh commandment in its very simple but clear words. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 18. We read about the seventh commandment in Exodus 20. Now let's read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 18 says, neither shall you commit adultery. Not really hard to understand. Not really difficult to grasp the meaning of the seventh commandment. Don't fall for the lies and propaganda spread far and wide about, quote, if you feel like doing it, do it, end quote. They don't tell you the penalties that'll come when you do that. No boundaries, no borders in marriage, we're told, on television, in books, in movies, where all the sleaze and filth and garbage is peddled every day endlessly and absorbed by people who are not thinking or absorbed by the minds of children and then followed through in action as life goes along, and here comes the trouble. Instead of being taken in by that propaganda, do this. Do what God says in His Word. Be 100% clean and chaste before marriage, and be 100% faithful to your mate after marriage, and enjoy the pleasure and the blessings this brings with no kickback and no heartache, only happiness and joy and peace in your marriage, in your home, and in your family, because you, with God's help, are living according to His laws, and with His help, you're keeping the seventh commandment. We have free material on this subject you can receive just for the asking. You can request our free CD on marriage and on the breakdown of authority. You may do so by calling our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. Also, we'll be glad to send you our free magazine, Straightforward. Just call the number at 1-800-581-1317, or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.